All right, thanks, Tyson. Yes?
Scott, Paul Boyden, it might not hurt if we had Tyson talk to the DUI committee, and then Kim Gibb and I could go along with Tyson and chat with all these folks. I think she's got a lot of currency with them.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, we'll make this as non-confrontational as we can, because we're just that kind of guys, right, Scott?
Tyson, I think that would be a great webinar, because that's something that people would watch and we watch.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Great, okay. All right, Ron, I guess it's you and I. Do you want to maybe talk about bar scanners, since a lot of people here have not yet seen it?
Yeah, just to check, make check-in easier at conferences, I just developed a little piece that you can just scan a QR code. Everybody has a unique one just for themselves. And when you register, when you get the registration confirmation, it sends the barcode to you, so you can just have it on your phone, you have it on your whatever, print it out or whatever, or I have it at the conference either way. And you just scan it, you're marked, you're done. You scan the barcode attender, it marks you, it gets it in the database, so we don't have to go back and spend any time doing that later. And that also helps it so that once you've checked in, the evaluation is immediately available to you at that point. You go and you can do each day or each session, you can evaluate and save the progress and come back and finish it later. So each day you can complete it, or you can complete it all at the end of the conference, whichever. So that's just all put together to make it easier to and less time taken on the back end. So Maryland doesn't have to spend hours on the back end compiling all this stuff.
And are they still incentivized to do the evaluation so they get their credits?
Yeah, I mean, if you don't do the evaluation, you don't get the CLE credit, right, basically, as far as our concern. The other thing is that when you do the electronic evaluation, it's fairly easy. You just go in, you log in, and just like you would for Facebook or anything, you only have to register once, and most people have already done it. So now all you have to do is go in and log into the members area, do the evaluation, and you just check the boxes of the wherever you want to score, make any comments if you want to it, and immediately gives you feedback on how many credits you've got, and gives you the certificate to download. Plus, on our end, it immediately puts it into the database, so we have, it's all done, we don't have to spend any time doing it later. And also on our website, I don't know how many people know, but you can go there and check how many CLE credits you've received for any conference you've ever attended for UPC. As a record of that, you can go in and log into the same area and go to check the CLE page, put in a date range you want to look at, and it gives you all the conferences you've attended and this credit you've gotten for that. So that's all kind of trying to keep that electronic paperless movement as much as possible. So that's what that's about. And if you don't have a QR code, don't worry about it. I've got it. We will have it either on paper or whatever, so you can scan it. Or Mary can just check it like she always had. Then we have to go back in and manually mark you here, but that's okay too.
For this first year, until we get, or I get more comfortable with the barcode thing, I'm still bringing the old paper evaluations and certificates. So if you don't want to go online and do that, then that's fine. We'll eventually, fade out of that. But for right now, we still have the old way of doing it, but it's either or. So you either go online or you do the paper.
But the preference is online, just because it saves Marilyn and Ron a lot of hours having to retype everything. Do you want to talk about the app we're looking at?
Yeah, there's I'm looking at building an app that can be downloaded to your mobile device, tablet, phone, whatever, where it show all the information about the conference, the speakers, their bios, the courses, and the description of them, the credits that are available for each, all that would be available on the app, but it would just update as each conference was available. There's a couple of issues with the one I've looked at, that to do multiple conferences with that, if you go in and you can build an app and you just pay a fee, and it's really easy to build an app. Almost anybody can do it that has any technical ability, or have to code anything. You just tell them I want this, this, and this, and then people download it. There's a couple of problems that I'm trying to work out. Not quite ready yet, but there's another one I'm looking at that we can just build from scratch. It's almost free, and they don't have to worry about learning how to code it out. But it's just a matter of where do we want to have that. It's hard to see, I guess, if you don't know what it can do for you, but the one we have right now, Bob, that's a trial, only 10 people can download it.
Okay.
So we have 10 people look at it and then see what they think, but after that, then we have to pay them. For one conference, it's like $7,500, I can't remember what it is.
Yeah, which we don't want to spend, so.
No, it's a few hundred dollars for just one app, and then it's like $1,500 if you want to do 8 a year, and it's a renewal every year. And I'm looking at this other option I can go with, it's like, you know, like $25 a year type of a thing. So I'm going to look at that, but I haven't had a chance to look at that. But I think an app would be kind of fun for a lot of people because they can just see everything right there. It has a whole agenda, has the speakers, their bios. You can do polls with it during the conference, or you can put in there what you like about it. Potentially, I'd like to get it to where you could actually do the evaluation right there. But I don't know yet if that's possible, but that's what one of the things I'm looking into. Trying to do it for doing a lot less expensive than some of these other ways of doing it. So.
Pam's update, just real quick. I mean, there's not a whole lot going on.
Basically, it's just there are a few issues happening, and I have one or two calls or emails every week at least, sometimes a lot more than that. Continue to help people with PIMS who need it. It's still working for those who need it. It does. One thing that's interesting is we did some coding to try to get it to connect to the courts and do electronic filing. Well, the courts have fouled that up now. It doesn't work for the most part because they changed things. Where courts have done things now with justice courts too, where you have to e-file in a lot of justice courts. And they're giving some of our jurisdictions a call saying that they're having trouble, they won't accept them. The documents that they send up. Said, you got to enter the data on our website and send our documents or it won't work. And so I don't know what to do about that because I can't fix the documents so they'll accept it. Tula City had a problem with that and a couple of other places. I can't remember who else it was, but they said the Justice Court could tell them our documents don't work. We won't accept those documents. They're just PDF documents, standard format. They said, well, we won't accept it. Well, why? Well, they won't. I can't tell. So we're having a little trouble with that, so I'm trying to work with people to try to figure that out. I think the local court teams, I think the court clerks in a few places are, I don't know what they're doing, but they're rejecting the filings because they don't like the document or something.
We have that.
And I thought that if the document had the information in it, that's all you need, right?
Yeah.
It's a PDF. So it has all the data there, that's all. So anyway, I'm not sure. So that's just, you know, we're trying to work through that with the people that have PIMS or are having trouble with that, but I can't find, might need some help if they continue to have trouble with the documents side, because I don't know what to do about that. But it'll continue to work for the foreseeable future, what we already have, and just not making that for these customers. Still quite a few people using it.
Okay, case management and the RFP. As I've given you, a lot of details, so I will give you the big overview, and then if you've got any questions, I've been working with my grant manager from CCJJ State Purchasing. DTS has been interested, and so I several. This is my RFP file. If anybody wants to look through it, so I've got several drafts that I've been working on. When Steve and there were some others that we approached Representative Hutchings, the approach that we were taking with him is we were looking for a system where we could, you know, everybody could share, well, access and read only each other's information so we can track defendants, all of them, you know, down the state. And so that's the approach that I was taking that presented some problems, and you can read, I've kind of had to back away from that, so I'm looking at cloud-based, which that's how we would be able to do that, is it was a cloud-based system, but then that would require that each jurisdiction grant access to another jurisdiction, and since I can't speak for all 29 counties and, you know, however many cities, I don't know that that's going to work, so I've had to then go back and add in the possibility that the system may simply be server-based, like we've got, you know, in the counties that currently have it. With the $500,000 of the grant, obviously, that isn't going to purchase, well, there's one company out there that thinks that I can get the system for the entire state for that amount of money, but that's not going to cover ongoing costs. And everybody agrees that, that you know, beyond the $500,000, each jurisdiction will be responsible for their individual costs. The challenge that that continues to present, and I'm going to talk to some folks hopefully this weekend and get your thoughts on it, is I don't know how, in terms of negotiating the contract and then getting into the scoring criteria I'll talk about in just a second, is how to actually draft the language so that it's clear that UPC is only responsible for $500,000 and that each jurisdiction that wants the case management system is then responsible for those ongoing costs. What I think, what I'm sure is going to happen is there's then going to have to be multiple contracts between whoever the vendor is that we go with and then the individual jurisdictions. I don't know how a company's gonna feel about that. I don't know if individual jurisdictions are gonna want specific terms of their contract. And so that's just really been a headache for me, is trying to figure that out. Then also, in coming up with scoring criteria when the evaluation comes back, what I was looking at, just based on other scoring criteria samples that I got from state purchasing, is you give a score based on the initial, you know, first year cost, and then you compare it to ongoing costs. And so that's how I was drafting the RFP as well as my scoring sheets, until I was able to look at the AG's RFP. They finally closed on it so I could take a look at it. What they, and that's how they scored theirs initially, is they went into it looking at first year costs versus ongoing costs. And so those companies that had low first year costs got a higher score than those, compared with the subsequent years. Well, Journal Technologies, for those of you that are familiar with their pricing systems, they don't charge you anything until the system is up and running. And that, in terms of the AG's office, that may have taken more than a year, you know, looking at all the offices and everybody. So their first year costs were negligible. So they got a huge, you know, really high score for those first year costs. But what happened then is the subsequent years, years 2 through 5 of their contract, was incredibly expensive. Whereas when you compare, when they compared it with the other people that responded, who had higher first year costs, but then their subsequent year costs were much less. And so they realized that there was an inherent problem with their scoring system. So they had to go back, reopen the process, and ask for best and final offer, looking at the total cost over 5 years, or you know, the total cost for the 5 years, not breaking out the costs. And as it turns out, Journal Technologies was $500,000 or $600,000 more than the nearest competitor. So AG's office went with some company called Legal Files. And so realizing that it wouldn't do any of, you know, the jurisdictions, it wouldn't do you guys any good for me to come in and get a really low up year, you know, that first year cost, and then hit everybody with a huge bill, you know, for those subsequent years. So I've had to redo mine RFP asking for that best and final offer. The challenge now that I'm, oh, and the other issue is companies, I don't know, Jeff, I think you're the only one here, nobody else has third-party case management yet, right? Didn't they want to know how many users, and your pricing came down to how many users you were going to have?
The ongoing pricing is based upon number of users.
Yeah, okay, and that's what I thought, and so with the AG's office, they were able to give a definite number. We want 350 or 500 licenses, I don't remember exactly what the number was, and so they got a bid based on that. The challenge that I've got is I don't know how many licenses we're going to get. And so I am having to create the score sheet, so going from like 0 to 100 users, 101 to 150, 151 to 200, and breaking it out that way. But then the challenge is I'm not quite sure how I score that, you know, in comparison to everybody else. And I don't know that I'm adequately explaining it. I might have to show you my pricing thing. Do I have the evaluation committee, will they score, give each pricing category, a different score, and how do I factor that in? So, you know, maybe one company comes in, it's more expensive, 100 to 150, but then it gets less expensive, you know, the greater the numbers, which I imagine they're all going to be. But like I said, as I'm not smart enough, I'm going to get some input to try to figure out that scoring system. And so that's really the last hurdle that I've got before I feel like I can go back to state purchasing and say, I think I've got a final draft now of the RFP. Okay, so that's that. Cloud versus server-based. The challenge there is going to be is, let's say some of these smaller jurisdictions don't have an adequate server to handle it. So I'm requiring that they put in the RFP what hardware, what equipment is going to be needed, you know, how many terabytes of data, this and that. But is this going to become then an unfunded mandate for some of these jurisdictions that if they want the product, then they've got to spend additional funds that they may not have for the computer equipment? So that's another issue that I'm having to look at. Let's see. I've come up with some requirements that have to be met in order for the proposal to be considered valid. And so here's what I've come up with, and so give me some feedback, is the ability for users to easily, I'm looking at page 5, paragraph 7, the ability for users to easily create a variety of templates for use in document generation, the ability for users and administrators to easily create a wide variety of dynamic system management reports, the ability for users and administrators to easily create automated electronic workflows to implement a paperless office environment, ability of a system to electronically interface with multiple law enforcement and other external criminal justice entities, and I identify you know, what the various agencies are using. Let's see, ability to electronically file documents with the district and justice courts, and then a cloud-based system has to have sufficient internal document storage and then meet data protection that comply with federal state law. So those are the minimum requirements. My concern that I have with the being able to electronically file is, I don't know that, is Journal Technologies, for example, Jeff, have they got an e-filing patch done?
Yes, it's finalizing beta testing, I think Weber County, Davis County, we're supposed to get it, it's either this month or next month. So yes.
Okay, what about justice courts? Have you addressed that? Are Utah County Justice Courts requiring you guys to file electronically?
They will be, I think in January, is that the cutoff for justice courts?
I mean, that sounds
right. It's
different
based on the size of court.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Different courts are going at different dates. Oh.
So have they given you any indication?
Well,
are they
course, so it'll work with any court that has
it
court.
It should still work, yeah.
Okay.
All courts have been mandated to go to Chorus, so it should work.
Okay.
The important part about that is that justice courts are working off of e-citations, right? And so our system needs to be able to extract the data from the citations,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to in district court, we're uploading our own data. We're not extracting that from somewhere.
Okay.
Yeah, that is an interesting complication.
Yeah.
Okay, so then over 7D, paragraph 2, is I need to add an e-citation, that their program needs to be able to interface with e-citation.
This may go without saying, but they need to do the updates.
Right, okay.
What do you mean, that
legislative updates?
Right, yeah, is I think Tyson's still going to continue to do that with the offense table. Is that what you're talking about, Barry?
Yeah.
But the way we do it doesn't work with
these
third-party programs.
Right.
Okay. Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay, so.
We could give them the changes in the file, but then they'd have to fit that within their system so it works.
Yeah. Maybe I'm misunderstanding, but that indeed, we're requiring the interface with system. There's nothing that interfaces with all these.
Well, because I was basing this off what Salt Lake's did, and I don't, you know, Will isn't going to know the answer to this. So you guys don't require that it interface with Spillman so that it can upload directly?
What we required is it had, well, maybe you're writing right. We have the ability to interface. We wrote a patch for IT, but none of them come preloaded, able to talk to all these systems. Nobody does.
Okay, so that's something that is at each jurisdiction. Well,
the way I see it is that they have a door you can open and plug your software in. And I know Justware and I believe Carpel had that too.
Journal Technology and Carpel both have the ability for you to do your own little programming
Right. That will tie, pull it from wherever you want and put it into their system in the proper places.
Right, but it doesn't reach out. And that's,
it doesn't reach out and get it. In fact, reaching out and get it may be an impossible goal for anybody to reach.
Yeah.
But
okay.
To have the ability for it to tie into it, have an API is what it's called.
Yes.
To use the program again that brings it from whatever source you want into the system. I think that's really important.
Okay.
And you need to make sure it's free.
Right.
That's
yeah, no extra cost for that API.
Right.
Okay, then Ron and I will get together, and I'll get with Ron to fix the language on paragraph D there so that it reads correctly. Okay, thank you, Jeff. Okay, then, let's see, secondary requirement is that it be able to interface with Chorus. Then I've broken out, initially in my first draft, these 422 tasks that we wanted the system to be able to do. I was going to make those mandatory. Again, I was following Salt Lake's, but I liked the way the AG's drafted it, so I changed them to primary functionality. So there's 422 tasks. Salt Lake had more than that, but then their RFP was addressing for law enforcement agencies and one other agency, and so they're, you know, we didn't need those. So that's, I'm down to 422. We need to identify an evaluation committee. This is going to be the group that's going to sit down and go through the presentations, evaluate it. The AG's office, they had a technology committee, a pricing committee, one other committee. And so there were three or four committees that were each evaluating. I don't have the resources to do that. So one committee is going to have to be it. But it's going to require a chunk of time because my guess is it's going to take at least 3 hours, a half a day. And maybe not as long, but for each demonstration that we watch, you know, an hour or so for product demonstration, an hour for questions, and then an hour to confer and score and whatnot. So I strongly suggest that we have one or two paralegals or assistants, whether UPA wants to suggest those, nominate those, if this committee wants to do it, because really they're the ones that are going to be using the product. And so I think that there's that they are going to have valuable input. Obviously, we need some attorneys on it, and probably IT guys, whether it's Ron or, you know, somebody else. I just think that this evaluation committee needs to be more than just attorneys. But I don't know who's going to be on that or who wants to be on it, who has
and,
the time.
And whether we have them on it, I would love to hear from people that are on the
ground
right now with each of the various products.
Right.
That would be huge.
And maybe that's where, you know, the attorneys or the support staff come from, is those offices that are already using a system.
I would like to have some people on the committee who have, love to have Mark maybe or someone from his office, someone from Utah County,
Tim.
who knows the system already, who can bring these inputs in like this. But I think also we should have some of the people who are looking at having the system.
Right. Oh no, I agree, because they need to.
So,
evaluate how easy is this going to be? I mean, because that's going to be one of the scoring criteria. So,
could that be some of those or the structure of the old users group that we have for charge?
That one didn't have.
I would suggest that.
Yeah, that had attorneys, that had paralegals, but I mean the representative obviously may be different now, but. Sort of the same structure as that?
Bob, I would suggest as a scoring criteria the number of users in the state already on the system. Because we talk about compatibility with and data sharing, if we get a system that Salt Lake, Utah, Davis, and Beaver counties aren't on, then your data sharing is really out the window.
Yeah. Well, and see, yeah, I mean, I agree, and I think that's of value. But what happens though if, let's say Carpel comes in, well, I can't, Journal Technologies comes in. I mean, they're the ones that have the biggest footprint in the state, but they're more expensive than everybody else. I mean, I don't see us going with them.
How much more expensive?
Well, like I said, it was $500,000. They were more expensive than any other competitors for the AG's bid. And so the AG just said, you know, we can't go to the legislature each year for, you know, $300,000 to $500,000 in yearly ongoing costs. So that's why they went with this legal files. It's not as robust. They all agree I talked to those who are on the committee that the Journal of Technologies is the Cadillac of products out there, but they were just incredibly more expensive. And just so y'all are aware, Carpel did not respond to the AG's RFP for whatever reason. So I mean, I agree, because that was one of the, actually something that I had drafted in, is trying to figure that out is you know, do you already have a presence here? But and I think it's valuable scoring. I just don't know how much to score that in terms of, you know, compared to the cost. But I'll work on something. So I know we're not yet to an evaluation, putting together an evaluation committee. Do you want to wait to discuss that until January? Because I'm hoping to get this issued soon. So I need an evaluation committee sooner than later.
Thoughts?
I want to be involved. I don't think you should send out notice of any presentations to the entire council. There's some people in here who have programs already, but I think there's more that don't.
So I understand. So you want, and I don't have a problem inviting the council. I mean, that's fine. But you're saying you'd like them to come into the demonstrations as well as the evaluation committee?
Well, that's. I'd just like the council to be aware of what's going on.
Oh, no, sure, of course.
If a member chooses to come, they should be excluded, but they may not be sitting at the front table on that.
So, committee?
I'll volunteer Tim on that one.
Okay.
But he's deep into Jesper, so bias.
Yeah. And so do you think it'd be beneficial for him as well as the support staff that's for the Weber and the manager as well? Or at least
he probably knows it as well as any of our support staff.
Okay.
Bob, does your money have any deadline on it?
I mean, the grant has to be expended unless I get an extension by September 30th. So a little less than a year.
Yeah. So there is some urgency.
Yes.
Did we already get one extension on this?
Yes.
So
CCJJ thinks I could get one, but their preference is not to have to file. And realistically, I mean, if we get the RFP out, you know, before the end of the year and get a response back, I'm hoping that we can enter into a contract early spring.
I'm happy to be on the committee.
Okay.
Did you say you wanted to be involved?
I want to be involved.
So I'll see you.
I'd like to be involved.
Okay. What about UPAA? What do you guys want to?
Come down.
Our office would as well. I'd probably even bring one of my IT guys.
Okay. Okay, I will work with that. I'll send out a list, and I'll send out to the council and just to get some final approval as we work towards that. And then the last part is just an explanation why this is taking so long. I apologize. It's just me. Anyway, I'll just leave it at that. Does anybody have any questions, specific questions on where I'm at with the RFPs? Okay. The last big issue that we alluded to is Donna's salary has become an issue. Ned Searle at CCJJ keeps telling me that there will be money to fund Donna's salary. He delegated the renewal of the VAWA sexual assault portion of her grant, which pays 60% of her salary, to someone else, and that person did not renew it on a timely basis. That is,
so they got fired. We're using their salary now for Donna.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. So that person is no longer working as.
Yeah.
That person has moved on to something else, but yeah, the application was turned in late. But he got the feds to still consider it.
Right.
We don't know whether that's going to be a black mark against us or not.
Right.
But
so
the grant this sexual violence grant, is renewed every 3 years. The last time we got it, they did not even let us know that it was renewed until the middle of November.
and it starts October 1st. So we're still waiting, and then so this is repeated, history is repeating itself. They haven't let us know yet.